Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend's readings are from the fourth Sunday of Easter. Let's go to our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God this morning? Check. Is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 14 and 36 to 41. And here it is. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed, "Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What are we to do, my brothers?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is made to you and to your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call." He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the message today, my friends, from the Acts of the Apostles is so important to us because it gives us clarity in that God has made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, who you crucified. So he is the Lord and he is Christ. And the Lord has given us the opportunity, my friends, to follow in his footsteps. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And we know from the gospel of Jesus Christ that our Lord was baptized. And he calls every one of us to follow suit once again, to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He calls us to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is powerful because the Holy Spirit lives within each one of us. And the word goes on to say, "For the promise is made to you and your children and to those who are far off." And the Lord excludes no one. He wants our children to be baptized. He wants all of us to be baptized and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are very precious. The gift of wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. In the book of Psalms, it says that the first step to wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And when I first read this, the word fear basically told me that we need to be afraid of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the fear of the Lord is a reverence, a deep respect. And God calls us to love Him with all our hearts, our minds, our soul, and strength. Hard to do when we're in fear of someone. And that is why it's so important to understand that the fear of the Lord, the great respect, the deep reverence of our Lord, is the first step to wisdom. Because it's in that reverence and deep respect that we establish a true relationship with Jesus Christ, where He is Lord and He is Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Word of God, the Lamb of God, the Son of God. The Lord has many titles. But once again, we're focused here on the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given to us through baptism. And there are many children out there who are not baptized because there is no faith within the home. And so God calls us to baptism, to accept those gifts of the Holy Spirit, and to move forward, and to really emulate Jesus in that we too will be baptized. And we want to utilize those great gifts. What are your gifts, my friends, that you have been given? The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of wisdom. How do you know if you have wisdom or not? How do we know? Very often we discuss that in the WINGS program with incarcerated men or men who are in recovery homes addicted to alcohol or drugs. And it's a very simple answer in that when you have the Lord with you and all things are possible with God, we learn from the past not to make the same mistake over and over and over again. We have wisdom because we are truly learning from past mistakes, not to be repeated. And we've had men who have come through our WINGS program with 72 arrests. 72 times arrested for drugs, DUIs, car accidents, the sale of drugs, all kinds of things, burglaries, larceny. 72 arrests by the age of 31. That man was very busy. We've had men who have had more than 20 burglaries in 30 years. They keep making the same mistake again and again and again. And for you and I, my friends, we too can make the same mistake, but we want to listen to the words that come from the apostles themselves. We want to adhere to these gifts of the Holy Spirit as being something to accept, to embrace, to engage in, to utilize, to use that wisdom to make great decisions, to apply the Word of God, the source of all great decision making, and to move forward in our lives as husbands and fathers, mothers and wives, parents and grandparents, as children of God, to move forward, not to make those same mistakes again and again. And if you're out there listening, my friends, if you have changes to make so that you don't repeat the past, make those changes starting today. This is the first day of the rest of your life. Now is time to make that change. Again, the gift of understanding. And when you're involved with our Lord Jesus Christ and you have the Holy Spirit, your level of understanding of the Word of God is very great. The words jump off the page. God allows you to have great insight to your faith in Christ Jesus. So we have that gift of understanding. We have the gift of counsel, being able to give good advice to other people when needed, to open their eyes as to spiritual logic, the way God sees things, not the world in which they see it, but the way God sees things, to give counsel through the application of the Word of God. What would Jesus do in this situation or that situation? Not what I would do, but what would Jesus do? Giving good counsel, my friends, to truly care for families, children, your home, your own life. This is truly important. So when people have the ability to give great advice and counsel, the Holy Spirit truly is working through them, because we are all children of God. And God knows there are those who will die today for whatever reasons, possibly because they're involved with drugs or alcohol or other things, and they are not listening to good counsel. The gifts of fortitude and knowledge, piety, and once again, the fear of the Lord. These are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit that come to us through baptism. One of the seven sacraments that our Lord has provided for us. Let's go to our second reading, my friends. From 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 25. And here it is. Beloved, if you are patient when you suffer for doing what is good, that is a grace before God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he returned no insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Instead, he handed himself over to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that free from sin we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you have gone astray like sheep. But you have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our second reading from 1 Peter 2, the word of God tells us, if you are patient when you suffer for doing what is good, this is a grace before God. So I say to you and I, my friends, have patience. It's a great virtue. It's a grace before God when we are suffering. And there's all kinds of sufferings that we will go through because Jesus also suffered. We know, having just celebrated Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday, and reliving the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ on Good Friday, we know that the Lord suffered a great deal. In the Holy Rosary, the five sorrowful mysteries, we have five events that truly enlighten our minds and bring great compassion into our hearts for our Lord's suffering. The agony of Jesus in the garden, where our Lord prayed to our Father to take this cup from me, but nevertheless, your will be done, because he was going to do the will of the Father. And there he sweated blood, because he could see up ahead what he was about to endure. The second sorrowful mystery, the scourging of Jesus at the pillar, where he endured tremendous beating down to the bone throughout his body. And he suffered a great deal, and our Blessed Mother Mary was there. She was there, my friends, to witness this great tragedy that took place where her son was to be killed. The crowning of Jesus with thorns, where our Lord was crowned with not a legitimate crown, but thorns that went through his scalp and even pierced through his eyebrow into his eye. And the Lord suffered a great deal, and he did it for us with each and every thorn. You know, another sin is forgiven. And the carrying of the cross, the fourth sorrowful mystery, where our Lord falls three times and he rises once again. He perseveres. He's a finisher. He falls three times, he gets up, and he carries his cross once again to save us from our sins. Doing the Father's will, he has to complete the job. This, my friends, leads us into the crucifixion, the fifth sorrowful mystery, where the Lord is nailed to the cross, and he suffers great pain. Imagine being nailed to a cross, your hands, your feet, and to truly be, humbled. You know, the Lord shows us great humility in that he didn't have to take this, but he did it for us. He shows us great humility in these five sorrowful mysteries, and he calls us to a higher level of humility. But the Word of God says in the second reading, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his footsteps." Once again, the Lord calls us to emulate him. And we will suffer physically, mentally, spiritually. There's all kinds of sufferings that we will endure for God. And the Word says that this is a grace before God. Isn't that where we want to be, my friends? Under the grace of God, under that umbrella, which allows us to experience the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And again, the Lord shows us humility in that when he is insulted, he returns no insult. And he has no deceit found in his mouth. He's not capable of lying. How many of us will tell white lies or eliminate some information and to not give the truth? I remember working in prison ministry now for almost 30 years, and there were many examples of people who didn't tell the truth and were convicted. And God's hand is through and through a hand of justice. And God will bring justice to unjust situations. I remember one case where a inmate had told me that he never had a weapon. And I said, "Never, lie on the witness stand. You're going to put your hand on the Bible. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help me God. And when you say I do, if you lie, the consequences are very great for perjury." Well, there was a camera and some evidence of him throwing a weapon into the bushes. This was a burglary case. But I just tell you, he was convicted and sentenced to 7 to 12 years, I believe. And, you know, the Lord calls us to be honest. There was no deceit found in his mouth. By his wounds we have been healed, the word of God says. For you have gone astray like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Have we gone astray, my friends? Are we in a position today, right here, that we are astray and separated from God, living in sin, making poor decisions, unwise choices? God's giving us this information to bring us back to the fold. He says, you have now returned to the shepherd, the guardian of your soul. Who is the guardian of your soul? Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit who lives within us, God the Father of all mankind. It's a powerful message that we get from 1 Peter today, my friends. And once again, we are called to emulate Jesus Christ and commit no sin and have no deceit, tell no lies. And in word and action, be through and through one and the same. Not hypocrites, but we are called to be good men. The steps of a good man is an order from the Lord. It's not something we can choose not to do. And I challenge you today, my friends, to make a decision to give 100% to living a sin-free life, 100% to speaking the truth each and every day. Let's go to our gospel reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. And here it is. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his town, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus uses this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they may have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of John today, my friends, the Lord tells us that he is the gate. Whoever enters through him will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. If we are not going through him, my friends, if we are not following Jesus, who are we following today? He is the only gate. Jesus tells us no one comes to the Father except through him. This is important. So if we're in a position today where we are following the wrong people, disengage from the church itself, focusing on Jesus Christ, unable to follow the Word of God because we ignore it. We don't like it. We're embarrassed by it. How can we be saved? God says, I am the gate. Whoever's entered through me will be saved. Is it your objective, my friends, to be saved? Or does it not matter to you? Is your focus on material things and not on spiritual life and the afterlife with our Father in heaven? Do we have some changes to make? Now is the time to do it, my friends, because a thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. But the Lord says, I came so that they may have life and have it more abundantly. When you have an abundant life provided by God, you're flourishing, blossoming like a flower. The sun rises and continues to shine on you. In your heart and your mind, you have peace, joy, hope, great vision into the future. I came so that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Isn't that where, my friends, you and your family want to be? Isn't that where we want our children and grandchildren to grow up, having an abundant life? And that doesn't mean that we're going to have all the money in the world and luxuries galore. But it does mean that the Lord will provide the necessities of life and things such as hope, vision for the future, love, joy, peace, tranquility, serenity. He will give us an amazing life, an abundant life, if we follow him. He says once again, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. Again, this is where we want to examine ourselves, look at our lives objectively, and see, are our priorities straight or are they upside down? Are they materialistic only where God is not present or even last on the list? If we have things to do, changes to make, my friends, I challenge you to make those changes today. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. God bless you. And we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and clear for takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.